Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is from the Old Testament lesson, especially Isaiah 59, verses 15b and 16. The Lord looked and was displeased that there was no justice. He saw that there was no one. He was appalled that there was no one to intervene. So his own arm worked salvation for him, and his own righteousness sustained him. This is our text. Dear fellow redeemed, in the name of our loving Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In an essay in the French publication Le Monde, the November 2nd issue, Jean Baudrillard wrote these words: "We have had plenty of global events in recent years, from the death of Diana to the World Cup, as well as plenty of violence and real events, from wars to genocide, but a symbolic event global in reach, an event that is not only broadcast worldwide, but that which threatens globalization itself, had not yet occurred. For the length of the stagnant 90s, in the words of Argentine writer Macedonio Fernandez, events were on strike. Well, the strike is over. Events are back at work. With the attack on the World Trade Center, we have now witnessed the ultimate event, the mother of all events, an event so pure it contains within it all the events that never took place. The September terrorist attack has indeed been described hyperbolically many, many times. We've heard it said that it was the event that will forever change the way Americans live. We've been told that we will never again feel safe and secure in our own country. But I think Baudrillard's comment, "We have now witnessed the ultimate event, the mother of all events, an event so pure it contains within it all the events that never took place," may well be the most hyperbolic of the other hyperbolic statements. When I read these words, I thought of our text, especially when it says, "The Lord looked and was displeased because there was no justice." These words would seem to apply not only to what God saw when he looked down upon apostate Israel in the days of Isaiah, but would also seem to echo what God must have felt when he looked down upon the Garden of Eden after Adam and Eve had sinned. With some slight changes in Baudrillard's words, we may well describe what God might have said in reaction to mankind's first sin: "I have seen the ultimate event, the mother of all events, an event that contains within it all the events that will ever take place." Certainly, Adam's sin was the ultimate sin. It was the mother of all other sins. It comprehends all sins that would ever be committed ever after. And that sin became the sinful nature that passed on to all his descendants. Americans were angered at the terrorist because they changed the New York skyline. They removed a world-renowned icon of international commerce, took almost 3,000 lives, and ruined many more. But Adam's sin and our sin are much worse. They brought destruction upon a perfectly created universe. They brought death upon all men and all living things, and they will only lead to the destruction of the entire world. Sin leads to the destruction of more than two twin tires designed by an acrophobic architect. It will bring about the destruction of a universe in a greater cloud of smoke than that which rose over Lower Manhattan. We can say without any exaggeration that Adam's sin has changed human life and changed it forever in this world. If we were shaken by the events of September and are horrified at the devastation that they caused, certainly you and I should be more shaken and more horrified at the destruction caused by Adam's sin and continues to be caused by our sin. The Lenten season may end with the glorious news of our redemption, but it begins with an acute awareness of our sin. Today is a day of ashes. It is a day of repentance. It is a day to be shaken and so horrified at what we have done to God's perfect creation and also what we have done to his Son. In our text, Isaiah also writes, "He saw that there was no one. He was appalled that there was no one to intervene. And so his own arm worked salvation for him, and his own righteousness sustained him." In a recent article entitled "Summa Cum Aliritia," or "With the Greatest Amount of Greed," a takeoff on the words "Summa Cum Laude," Nick Brommel describes the commercialization of higher education from about the 60s down to our current time. He says that today we mete out mainly A's and B's in our colleges and universities, telling students that they are brilliant or that they are very good. In 1969, only 7% of students nationwide received an A-minus or higher. Currently at Ivy League Dartmouth, 47% of the grades are A and A-minus. And when you factor in the B's, there probably aren't too many other grades assigned that are lower. And 91% now of Harvard graduates, seniors, graduate with honors. The same thing, I think, is happening spiritually in our world. Without a clearly defined God or any absolute moral standard, people are being told that they are spiritually brilliant or that they are morally and ethically very good. If we assign any sin, this may be like pinning the tail on somebody else's donkey. It's not ours. The sins we know about belong to someone else. And when we declare people so spiritually good, we really make meaningless Isaiah's words that God saw that there was no one among men who could intervene. There was no one who could work out salvation among mankind. And when we think of ourselves as morally good, we don't feel the need for the salvation that God offers or the righteousness that is brought to us by Jesus Christ. That we need a salvation from outside of ourselves is indeed the message of Lent. As we follow our Savior along his way of sorrow to the cross and the grave. When we remember his death and his words, "It is finished," then we know that God has worked salvation for us. Then we know he has given it to us free. He has given to us, although we have in no way deserved it. Our nation has declared war on terrorism, and we now speak of an axis of evil. Would that our society, ourselves included, would declare war on sin, war on the axis of evil that Satan has created in our world. Lent is a time to declare war on the sins of our lives. It is a time to repent of the sins that we have engaged in. It is a time to turn to Christ on the cross and say, Lord, remember me when you come in your kingdom. Not because of who we are or because of what we have done, but simply because of what he has done in our place on the cross. May God grant us such a blessed Lent. In the name of our loving Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ.